Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the Terrace Podcast. My name is Craig Cairns. A number of weeks ago, Chris and I used the Chris Mitchell Foundation as a jumping off point to speak about our own experiences of mental health. This week, we were lucky enough to be joined by Philip Mitchell, who's a trustee of the charity and Chris Mitchell's father. Usually, I would do the intro for these podcasts with everybody on the call, but we just ended up getting into the conversation before I could do that. So what follows is the conversation that we had about the great work that Philip and his daughter are doing.
No, I really appreciate you giving us the time, Philip. I think it's obviously a fantastic cause, something that through my own personal experience as well, you know, it was when I was at Watford, like you say, earning good money. It's not the be all and end all, and it was something that it became too much for me personally. You know, it was I wasn't eating properly. I was sleeping as soon as, like, I was driving from the Midlands down to Watford. I was in the car 5 hours a day, but there was a car school, and none of this car school knew that I was going through depression. I was experiencing anxiety. It was like I put on a mask when I went into the football club. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things that, like you say, no one would, because I was such a big character, that no one would realise. But it was so draining putting that mask on every day. So yeah. Eventually it got too much. I wasn't eating properly. As soon as I was getting in the house at, say, 4 p.m., I'd go to bed. I'd wake up 6:30 the next morning with the alarm without eating. But I felt like I hadn't slept. I was getting in the car, going and training. The only time I actually probably ate was when I was at Watford Football Club and the chef was doing your food. So I'd done this for about, 6-7 weeks. And then I said, you know what, I can't do it anymore. I said to the doctor, Dr. Ritten down at Watford, never broke stride, Philip. He just said, you know what, he says, you'll be surprised at how many professional athletes are going through this kind of thing. I got put on antidepressants, serotonin, which the body naturally releases anyway when you go to the gym. But it was one of those things. I was doing my A license up at Largs at the exact same time. So again, another pressured situation. Mm-hmm. It's one of these things that I think it's fantastic. I think I'm reading all the articles, I'm reading all the things that you're doing, and it's bringing awareness to it. So, you know, we're all for that and getting people talking about it, because, like you're saying, what you've done with that experience and benefiting others, I can't say thank you enough.
Well, thanks very much for your kind words, Chris. That's we do feel that we are achieving things, and if it helps people, we're delighted. We're delighted. But how the foundation came about, Christopher, my son, he was a professional footballer. I played very, very low level amateur football, but he was always in the football environment. He was with me at the training. He was knocking about at the side of the park. He would count the numbers and see if there was an odd number, and he would get on and whatever. You know, he just loved football. His life was all around football. And at 16, he decided to, but prior to his 16, he was wanting to make a life out of professional football. So we encouraged him that way, and he got his exams from the school, and he went on to play professional football. He played in the Premiership in Scotland with Falkirk when Falkirk were high, and played against all the top clubs against and huge crowds. Played with Scotland underage, played in Europa qualifiers all at that time, went on to play Scotland under 21s. And throughout his career, there's players, he suffered a lot of injuries, a lot of serious injuries, and he went under the surgeon's knife on a few occasions. And these all impacted on his playing. And when he was injured, he felt that he was marginalised and at the clubs, you know. He loved the dressing room. He was in there first thing in the morning, sitting there waiting on everybody coming in, and he was the last person to leave. He loved all the banter in the dressing room and everything that went with it. He was a happy-go-lucky guy.
Can I just say there, on the back of that, being injured as a player is the worst experience. Mm-hmm. You know, is walking into that dressing room, like you say, having that banter, but then watching them all go out onto the training pitch when you've got to go down to the physio or into the gym to do your prehab. You know, it's not a nice feeling. It isn't, and it's you're spot on with what you say. I think there's telltale signs, and there's things that can be put in place that people can read these telltale signs, but there's just an awareness that person that's injured is not being allowed to do what he loves to do, and he might just need that extra little arm round the shoulder or that conversation to be had. That's so important, isn't it, Phil?
That's exactly it, Chris. That is exactly it, because they're vulnerable at that time. I can imagine there's things going through their head. You know, am I going to get back? Am I going to get back fully fit? Is my career coming to an end here? You know, everybody's all these things go through their mind. So is there people in the club that are qualified or trained or confident enough to approach somebody and do that, you know, put an arm around them and, you know, give them a bit of encouragement? Because Christopher, when he was in the dressing room on his rehab, not maybe as high level as some of the clubs that you were at, Chris, but as you say, first team went out, the fit players went out, turned right onto the training park, and the others went to rehab, turned left, and you're isolated and what have you. And on occasions he was told, just go for a walk and we'll see you in a couple of hours or whatever. And, you know, treating people like that, it knocks their confidence.
Philip, I'll ask you this then. Where mental health and obviously depression and anxiety, should it be treated like any other injury? Now, I ask you this for the very fact that the PFA down in England are trying to get that installed at football clubs, that when someone is going through that, then they have to be taken away. But my argument to them was, well, wait a minute. Football is a distraction as well. Football is a positive that, yeah, so, take away if someone's fit, they still go through depression, Philip, you understand? So mm-hmm. when they come to that dressing room banter or they go out on the training pitch, all their worries are gone. You see them. I know I've played with gamblers that are bad gamblers, but when they're out on the training pitch, the world's an oyster. You understand? Mm-hmm. They're completely free of any thought. As soon as the manager blows that whistle at the end of the training, you can see they've got the world on their shoulders again. Yeah. So I put this to the PFA, and I'm sure the Scottish Professional Players Association are probably in zinc, that like you say, you're training people to the organisation with the foundation as well, that they're training people to be aware of the telltale signs, which I think is so important, because you can't just take someone out of that environment and say, right, you know what, we've got to treat it like any other injury, because it's not the same as any other injury. You have to let the player, female, male, little boy, girl, whatever it is, do what they love to do, but also give them the support that they need. And I think that's exactly what you're doing. You're bringing awareness to it. You're getting people qualified and actually being able to have those difficult conversations to broach the subject if someone is going through hard times. But still, if someone isn't able to talk about it, still be able to say, you know what, he's not right. I can tell he's not right, because that's a sign, that's a telltale sign, and whatever it may be. And you're spot on with what you're saying about it goes from top to bottom at the football club. If it's the kit man, if it's the chief executive, it should be a broad spectrum, isn't it? That's the important thing, because the kit man is probably the person that has most contact with the players.
Yeah.
So if he's qualified and he has that kind of the little banter, he's in the dressing room as well, if he's qualified to notice something like that, then straight away he then brings it to someone's attention, who then can say, you know what, right, we have to just keep an eye on it. We have to just make sure every day, if it's a phone call to say, you know what, when he's away from the club, make sure, speak to the captain of the football club, make sure that someone's just keeping an eye. Even if he's not in the know, or she's not in the know, there's someone that can telltale that something might be wrong there. Let's keep an extra eye on that, Philip. That's because I'm looking at it, and it, like you say, it's fantastic work that the foundation does, but it's about stopping it from happening again, isn't it?
It is. And what you're saying, Chris, I mean, I can have a great conversation with you, because I've got lots of things in my head here just with that part that you said there. I mean, the clubs, everything's down to physical fitness. It's down to physical fitness to go out there onto the park and do your best physically. But, and this is professional sport, and this is elite professional sport at the very, very top. And to get that person to go out there and perform at their very best is to have them physically fit and mentally fit.
Yeah.
If you put the two of them together, then you have got the product to go out there and do the business. But mental health seems to lag behind. We've not grasped how important this is in elite sport, because it comes down to thousands of a second, maybe, in swimming or motorsport or what have you, and then it comes down to a lack of, just an instant lack of concentration in football or something like that, and you lose. But if you've got all that together, well, you've got the perfect product to go out there and do the best.
You launched the campaign in February in conjunction with the SPFL Trust. Could you just tell us a little bit about what inspired that and what that is looking to equip clubs to do?
We launched this when we set up the foundation. If I can go back to your first question here, when Christopher died, retired from football with a serious spinal injury in the January 2016, and he was a professional footballer. One day he was living the dream, he'd lived the dream for 10 years prior to that, and then the next day you're not a professional football player, and there was nobody there to help him from the governing bodies or any supporting bodies. We were told there was something in place, but we never knew it was in place, or we would certainly have taking that opportunity. But that was after Christopher's death that we found out about that, which was hopeless. So it took 3 months for Christopher, from retiring to football, to take his own life, and we're sitting in the house and people are coming down that fortnight before he was buried, and we're asking them, we're in a situation here, what's out there to help you? And the players, and we're saying, we don't know what's out there. We don't know what's out there. And my daughter was a driving force behind it. She says, well, we have to do something, we have to put something in place to support players. And that's how the foundation was set up. We were very fortunate that we got, after just a few conversations, we got put in contact with the SPFL Trust, who were doing mental health support in the community and what have you. So we got on board with them, and we raised funds to do mental health first aid training, which is now mental health awareness training, and they administered it for us. And Mark Fleming from Positive Mental Health, who's also the head of sports chaplaincy in Scotland, he delivered it. He's very, very good. So, and this was to, because as Chris was saying earlier on there, and Chris was brave enough to go and get help, but there's people wearing this veneer, let's say, you know, this mask, and they've got turmoil going on in their heads and in their lives for 21 or 20 odd hours a day, but when they're playing football or they're out in the train park, it's not there. But this is plaguing them and plaguing them. And, you know, to have the confidence to go and ask for help, because there's a lot of support work out there, lots of great support work out there, but it's all relying on that person taking that step, you know, having the courage to take that step, because there's still a lot of issues with mental health in sport, what have you. And it takes a lot of courage to put their hand up and say, I'm needing help, because of the negative consequences that have happened in the past and which are still here to a degree. So what we've done is we get these people trained up in various aspects of mental health, and we put them in the clubs. We put them in the, there's people in the 42 SPFL clubs, there's people in the Highland League, in the Lowland League, in the Women's Professional League, and all levels of other football in Scotland, right down to grassroots. And they are there, because they're in the club all the time. Like Chris said earlier on there, the kit man would be ideal, because he's in there listening to the patter. He would be the brunt of the banter in most occasions, I would imagine, at clubs and whatever, but they all love it. They all love it. Everybody gets on. These people are in the clubs and they're there every day, small families, and they can see if there's a dip in someone's mental health physically. And then they can, we've turned it around 180 degrees basically, you know. Yeah. There are people out there looking for the telltale signs, and they've got the knowledge and the know-how to approach that person and ask the question, and that gets things rolling from there. They're not there, they're not, these people aren't going to make them better. They're there as a conduit to professional help. If that person wants professional help, or they're there just for, because some people, it might just be a wee conversation that they're needing to take them out of that spiral. When Christopher died that day on Saturday, there were circumstances that happened whereby he was in the public environment right minutes up to his death, and he was anxious, and I've heard this since then, but people weren't bothered, wanted to get on with their lives, or didn't have the confidence to approach him and just say, look mate, are you okay, or whatever. And that maybe have taken him out of that negative spiral that he was in, and we don't know what would have happened from there then.
Philip, can I ask you, after Christopher's death, would you say, and the feedback that you're getting from, I guess, players in the game, is it easier for them to have those conversations? You know, you know what I mean? I know that we're trying to raise awareness and to get people qualified for them to kind of see those telltale signs. But because of what happened, from what I'm hearing and reading and the players that I speak to, that terrible things like this does get people talking. It does say, you know what, that's happened to Christopher. And then it gives them the strength to be able to have those conversations. Do you feel that there's more players off the back of that coming out and talking about the things that they're going through? If it's injury, if it's anxiety, depression, you know, with the chaos that's going on in their life, is it an easier conversation to have because of these terrible moments that have happened in the past?
I think it is, Chris. people are talking about mental health more, and that's a good thing, and things will progress. And with that, people become more confident and more comfortable speaking about it, and that gives them the confidence to open up. And that's what we are finding at through feedback from a few players that we've spoken to and assisted, that people are talking about it more, yeah, without a doubt.
And you mentioned the SPFL Trust there. I mean, I know firsthand the great work the SPFL Trust do. How helpful have they been, and what have they helped provide through this?
Well, simply, if we didn't have their support, we couldn't do this. We run this from the kitchen table, this charity, you know, my daughter and I. And if it wasn't for the help of the SPFL Trust, who do all our admin work for our mental health awareness courses, this wouldn't happen. Simple as that, it wouldn't happen. They are fantastic.
And one other thing I wanted to ask as well was, we're kind of talking about things that happen, or noticing signs within a club when a player's injured, for instance, as you mentioned. What about, is there anything for players when they leave a club, or when they do fall out the game? Because obviously then they are, by virtue of that, not going to be around the changing room.
Well, my answer to that one is I don't really know. I'm sure the SPFA will have things in place, but we have had our issues in the past with governing bodies of Scottish football and the SPFA. They just don't seem to want to engage with us. Up until recently, anyway, maybe with the SPFA. I'm on the panel of the Scottish FA Mental Health Advisory Panel, which has been started up, and it's going to be a two, three-year course to try and get mental health promoted in football. What our task is, sorry if I'm going away from your question here, Craig, what our task is that in this panel, we are going to strive to, as part of a professional club's licence in Scotland, that they must have a professional who can deal with mental health in their respective clubs, so that club can play in the leagues. Everything's driven towards physical fitness. The amount of people that are involved in the physical fitness sides in a club would stagger you, I'd imagine, but the mental health side is pretty, pretty poor. So we are endeavouring to be a part of a club. To be in the SPFL, you have to have professional mental health people in the club to assist players and staff.
Well, on the back of that then, Craig, you know, I think you said about the SPFA. If a player's at a football club and he retires at that football club, he's still the responsibility of that football club, really. That's, in my opinion, that football club mm-hmm. has to take responsibility to make sure, to be checking in, to make sure that if he still has to come back into the environment, because like you say, if he falls away from the game, and it is a complete void, by the way, let me tell you, there is no scarier thing than when you've got routine every single day for 20 years, then all of a sudden you wake up and you don't have to do anything. That is the scariest thing. But if there's still contact made from that last club, and it might just be to get him in, still players that he's been around or she's been around, I think that's important. And I think that's something, when obviously you're on the advisory group, I think that's something that needs to be put in place, that if a player retires, doesn't matter if he's got something else to fall back on, or going straight into university, or done this, the responsibility falls on that last club. Because you know what, he would have still had a term of contract that even if he retires. You know, when I retired, I was at Chester Football Club, I still had another year on my contract. You know, I just went away, I went back to university straight away. You know, it was one of those things. But I should still fall under their umbrella as their player until maybe the end of that contract. If I do retire, if I have to walk away from the game through injury, it's still that club's responsibility to make sure to check in, or like you say, have a professional at that club that says, you know what, I'm bringing so and so in for a couple of days just to get them around the club to see what's going on, have a chat with the players, to go up, watch the training, because that is massive. It is massive. It's the environment that these players have always known. Then all of a sudden, they're thrown into something else. It doesn't work like that. There has to be, the game has to take responsibility for all these players that are leaving it. If it's through retirement, through injury, what may be, it still falls. And I know that SBFA are doing what they can do there, but I still feel they can do more.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you, I still feel they can do more.
And it all comes down to money. The SPFA, when we've spoken to them in the past, it's all money, and I can understand that. But without a shadow of a doubt, and yourself and everybody else leaves, as I say, you're a professional footballer one day, and the next day you're not. And the structure of your life has totally changed. It's totally changed. And how do you deal with that? And for clubs to be more professional, they should be taking this on board and dealing with it. If it's a transition, just a transition over a period of time out of the club and into everyday life, let's say, put it that way. If it's just a transition and then there's no longer any contact at all, because we can't have people hanging on to clubs for years and years. But if a transition was there, that would benefit everybody.
And what kind of reaction, feedback have you had from trying to campaign for more mental health awareness in Scottish football clubs?
The people who have been on the course has been fantastic, absolutely fantastic. We must be up to about 700 people now that we've got trained in various levels of Scottish football. We've had no feedback from any governing bodies, football or Scottish football or unions or anything like that.
No. Philip, is it only for players, you know, or is it for all staff as well? You know, because we know the stresses of, I guess, coaching. We know the stresses of management. Is it something? Is it a broad spectrum, or is it more so just the players of these clubs?
For the training, or training. For the
assistance.
Yeah,
the
no, assistance. It's for everybody, Chris. It's for everybody. Yep, it's everybody's in the mix. A whole big family. Everybody within the clubs have got their respective issues and what have you, and goals to achieve and what have you, and it brings on pressure and mental health possibly. So it is for everybody, from the chief execs right down to turnstiles and what have you.
How many players have you had on the actual training? Has there been quite a few players actually come on the training thing as well? Or is it just basically... Yeah, brilliant.
There is players being on it. The numbers, I couldn't tell you, Chris, but there has been players that have went on it, and there's been managers who are still in the game. They've been on it as well.
Brilliant.
Danny Lennon and Gus McPherson, they've been on it. And that opened the eyes of Gus McPherson, because at the end of the two-day course, Gus was sort of sitting there saying, I can identify five players already who are falling into this category. So
it's massive, yeah.
And it is. It's a massive, massive issue. And we have to be grasping this and sorting it out and making things better for everybody. And it'd make the game better. Be more professional.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think we're about at time there. But thanks for joining us, Philip. I mean, from what you've been describing there, it sounds like from your kitchen table, you've already made a huge difference. That little story about Gus McPherson there, I mean, things like that, those are just the little things that have big effects. But yeah, thank you very much for joining us and giving us your time.
No, thank you, Philip. Appreciate it.
That's great, Craig. Thanks very much. And thanks very much, Chris. And keep up the great work, and well done.
No, appreciate that. Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.